You ready to dig into this? Man, I really dug this game. I really had to do some data mining to research this game, too. Life's a garden, dig it. Can you dig it, sucka?
Are you done? You done with that?
Yeah, I'm done. It's going to be kind of hard to dig myself out of this hole. Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 5, is that right?
Ish, something like that.
5-ish. Well, welcome to the next episode of Metroidvania Mayhem. I really should have checked that, but I didn't. Anyways, I am Nick Stevens. You think it's 5? 5 sounds right. But anyways, I am Nick Stevens alongside Michael Kelso. How you doing, Mike?
Hello.
It's been a while since I podcasted. I know you've been pretty consistent on Two Dudes. Two or three weeks for me, so this has been kind of every now and then my microphone just kind of gets pushed aside and I have to dig it out, make sure things still work, and
get blow the dust off.
Yeah, blow the dust off. So here I am.
The dig.
Had to dig it out.
I'm not as good at those puns as you are.
Had to dig it out of the closet. Yeah,
there you go.
Something like that. All right. Anyways, if you listeners haven't noticed, we're going to be talking about SteamWorld Dig today. So yeah. All right, man. Well, we can get all the little pleasantries out of the way.
The only announcement that we have is something that's probably obvious to people, that we missed our window again.
Well, not too far off.
Not too far off. But I know we kind of promised people the first of the month, and it's just kind of...
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like that's going to be the case. But monthly-ish, right?
Yes. On a rare occasion, we may miss a month, but for the most part, I've already got a head start on the next game, so I'll probably be ready.
As do I.
Good. Awesome. So yeah, there's announcements.
That's all you got.
Of course, you can check us out on Facebook. We have a group out there. That's kind of the main area that I know Mike's really pushed a group on Two Dudes, and it made a lot of sense. So I think everyone just kind of followed suit. All the podcasts and the Retro Junkies Network kind of did it. But we are on Facebook. We have that group, facebook.com/group/Metroidvania Mayhem. So check us out there. Really, you can just go to Google and search Metroidvania Mayhem, and you'll find all kinds of fun stuff.
I'm surprised at how effective the group thing ended up being, because it was just kind of an experiment. Because we, just a little backstory, since we got plenty of time for backstory
tangents.
We had tried to set up a forum, which, if anybody knows forums, they're either a huge hit or a gigantic miss, right? So in the Two Dudes world, forums ended up being a gigantic miss and nobody joined them. So I was like, well, people like Facebook, so let's just go to Facebook. And so I tried the group thing, and then all of a sudden it just blew up, you know. People, it's like a forum almost, but you don't have to go outside of Facebook. You can stay on Facebook.
Yeah. So. And you kind of get a good idea of how many people are really being interactive. Like, we get all these downloads a month and look at that, but I feel like the people that are really, really interested in the group or the podcast really join the group. So just kind of gives you an idea of what your listener base is like.
But, right. Yeah.
But anyways. All right. So, yeah, check us out there. Go to Google. Rate us on iTunes. That's a huge thing. We would like that. Again, we bring you free entertainment, so go do us a favor and give us some 5 stars on iTunes. And if you don't use iTunes, go download it just for fun and give us 5 stars. Then you can get rid of it.
Oh, yeah. It's so much fun. Hey, and, you know, you could download it right now to try out the big thing now is that Apple Music stuff. So you get a free 3-month trial, right? So
that's something like that. I don't personally use that, but it sounds...
I don't use it either, but it's just an excuse to get people on to iTunes, and then while they're there, they can just swing on over and drop us a 5-star review.
That's true. Is our podcast coming to Spotify? Is that what I heard?
I heard some people are already getting on there.
So. Really? Okay. I'm a big Spotify user, so that might have to be what I do.
Yeah, I use Google Play, so it didn't really fit
there. Oh, okay. For a podcast or for music?
For music, okay. And I use Pocket Casts, which I highly recommend for podcasts.
Okay. I use the generic Apple app for podcasts.
Well, what's really cool about Pocket Casts is they have couple of features. One is, which Apple already has this on their generic one, which is you can speed it up.
Yeah, that's nice.
So I listen to all mine on like time and a half speed. But it also has a skip silence. So if the podcast you're listening to doesn't naturally edit out their silence, it'll edit it out for you. And then it's also got a like an equalizer that increases vocal volume.
Okay.
So you can increase the vocal volume.
That's cool.
So, you know, 'cause some people, and I will admit that Two Dudes has a problem with this, will accidentally make the music louder than the vocals, or at least loud enough to where it's kind of hard to hear the vocals sometimes, but Pocket Cast will boost that for you. So
that's cool. Yeah, I've tried the speed up function for some podcasts, but some guys talk way too fast anyways, so then they just start sounding like chipmunks, even at 1.5.
Yeah.
But it is nice. Like, I started listening to the Shaquille O'Neal podcast, and he has a very low, deep, slow voice, and I sped that up, and it worked pretty well.
Yeah, for some reason, the 1.5 times on Pocket Cast does not increase the pitch of the voice. It just makes them faster.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Which, when I first started podcasting back in the 90s entertainment show days, someone told me they tried to do that with our show, and they said Ryan and I talk so fast it sounded kind of bad. So he and I have been friends forever, so it was just kind of easy to roll the conversations that way. But yeah, anyways, 1.5.
Yeah, actually, now that I think about it, when I listen to Genesis Gems or Two Dudes or this podcast, I think we all talk too fast.
Probably
for one and a half times. I think I normally go like 1.2 or 1.3 for those, because it's, yeah, a little too fast.
Well, I remember in speech class in college and other presentation classes I took further on in college, I was always told I spoke too fast and I mumble a little bit too much. So, and I end everything in "so." I was told that too. And it still happens, but that's okay.
Yeah, well, old habits die hard.
That's true.
So after about 10 minutes of tangent talk, you want to dig into the world of Metroidvania?
Absolutely. Go for it.
So, new releases. I hate to bring this up again, because I know it's not a Metroidvania, but it came out, and I really like the game a lot, Adventures of Pip.
Yeah.
It finally came out, and I have it, and it's a lot of fun. It's not a Metroidvania at all. It's just a platformer, but it's got really cool mechanics in it. So.
Is that the one that switches from, like, 8-bit to...
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, your character collects bits, basically.
That's cool.
Little pixels. He collects pixels, and when he gets by defeating enemies, and whenever he gets enough pixels, he can upgrade to like a different form. But then sometimes, in order to get past the puzzle platformer elements, you have to be a lower tier pixel to do it. So you have to downgrade yourself, and then you have to collect pixels to upgrade again. It's just really neat. So.
That's cool.
It's not a Metroidvania though, so don't spend a lot of time on that.
It looks good, though.
Yeah, it does. It does. I like it. It's a lot of fun. The next game that is released that I don't know a lot about, other than the fact that it's sort of free, and that's called Aborigines. It's one of those name your price type games. So it's, you can buy it for whatever you want. So that's pretty cool. Yeah. But it looks interesting. It's kind of got a... I guess you play an Aborigines native looking guy. You know, they're the ones that have their shirtless, that wear leaves for pants, and
yeah,
the masks. Anyways, it's a I haven't played it yet, so I can't guarantee it's a Metroidvania, but I think it's a Metroidvania, and it's pretty cool. I don't like, something that really bothers me a lot of times on these Metroidvania games, when the sprite of your character is really, really tiny compared to the rest of the screen.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know it makes the environments look really big, but to me, that just kind of, I'm just not a big fan of it. Yeah. So it's one of those, but it's worth a shot because you can kind of name your own price for it. So, and it's out.
$1. Reminds me of like Price is Right. I get that annoying guy at the end. $1.
Yeah. That guy's a cheater. All right, and then that's all I have on the new releases, or at least that's all I know of that I noticed on new releases. The new games on the horizon, which I is the biggest segment every time for some reason. I have like, I don't know, 10, it seems like, 7 or 8 at least.
Shenmue,
so I don't know.
Shenmue 3, is that on there?
I don't think that's a
wrong,
I guess that could be Metroidvania.
I just wanted to talk about it for a second.
World.
I just wanted to say Shenmue 3. I'm gonna make it a point to say that on every podcast I'm on.
All right, go ahead. You want to say it again?
Yeah, Shenmue 3. Move on.
Okay, moving on. All right, the first one I have is called Cape Blue, but it's spelled BLEUE. So I guess it's French or something, maybe.
Blue.
Cape Blue. Blue.
Mine came out like a southern
accent. Cape Blue.
Not like your southern. I'm talking like my. Oh, I'm talking West Virginia southern. There's.
Okay, well, Tennessee southern is a lot more southern.
Well, yeah. I'm actually more of a from Ohio, really, but further down West Virginia you get, it gets real thick. But anyways.
Well, I don't. Again, this one's not one I know a whole lot about, but you can. We'll have a link for it. You can check it out for yourself. It's got a. I want to say it almost looks like King's Quest in its style. So, I mean, not. It doesn't. It's not a point and click adventure at all. It looks like a Metroidvania, but I'm just saying graphically. You play a guy with a cape, a blue cape, in fact, and but it's maybe set in modern times. It's just a really interesting looking game, so we'll see what it turns out to be. The next one is Bullet Age. Now, Bullet Age looks really cool to me.
Yeah,
it's kind of falls in the same line as, I guess, kind of like the game I talked about. What's the one I've been talking about and saying I love? I can't think of it off the top of my head. It starts with a B also. Great podcasting right here.
Yeah.
Beyond Human. Yes, Beyond Human. So it kind of looks like that a little bit. So it's got my vote of confidence so far.
There's so many of these games I'm having a hard time remembering. I remember the ones I really want to play I can remember, but some of the other ones.
What I do is I just try to look up Metroidvanias in between times we do podcasts, you know? And I just come up with tons and tons of them, and I just kind of sift through them and try to pick out the ones that kind of look cool to me. But then some of them I don't do a whole lot of research into because I'm just trying to pull them all together and throw them out there so people can look them up themselves. But it's just a really popular genre right now just because I guess it's the technology has gotten to the point where people can make them easily. And their graphics are okay, you know.
Yeah, and there's a better market now with all these indie games and the platforms you can release them on.
Yeah, you got the indie games. Plus, you got the people making them are probably our age, and they grew up playing them, so they really like.
Yeah.
That's the style they like. So, all right, another one I have is called Ex Vitro. Now, Ex Vitro is a heavily Metroid inspired style. So heavily, in fact, that it's almost a straight ripoff of Metroid. I mean, it's got the blue doors that you shoot through. It's got, it's almost, the character even almost stands in the same stance as Metroid. So.
Yeah, there's a really sweet looking screenshot I saw of, it's like a, looks like some kind of crazy monster skeleton with these real sharp teeth.
And the big red eye, is that the one you're looking at?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, that's pretty sweet. A lot of like vegetation. I guess that's even the word. So there's a lot of areas. There's a lot of green coming out of it. A lot of plant life. It looks kind of neat.
Yeah, I almost don't like it though because it's so much. I probably won't play it because it's so much a Metroid ripoff. I don't know. I probably will eventually, but
yeah,
it's not on my recent to do list just because it seems so heavily inspired by Metroid that I'd probably just rather play a Metroid game. Yeah. The next one I have, which this one may actually be an RPG and not a Metroidvania, but it's called Savage, the Shard of Gozen. I think this one may end up being more of a Ackraiser type game, if that makes any sense. Because it's, but with RPG and Metroidvania elements mixed together, but I think it's probably going to be more of an RPG than a Metroidvania, but it looks pretty cool. The graphics are interesting, although it also has that kind of like Dust does, where it has kind of the flash game look to it.
Yeah. Now,
So,
I think the title of this is a little too much, but looking
the
at the screen,
title's a bit.
I was looking into this one a little bit because I kind of like just the idea. I mean, the guy kind of looks. Some of the screenshots almost remind me of like Ghosts and Goblins, the way the guy's jumping, and I don't know, probably because he's half naked. But yeah, it looked pretty cool. I'll probably check this one out
Well, I have a feeling we're going to check probably all of these out, but
eventually.
eventually, yeah. The next one I have is called Coin Story. Now, this one looks interesting. You actually play as a arcade machine.
Yeah.
So, like, I guess an arcade machine has been brought to life. I don't know. It's just an interesting concept of playing as an arcade machine. And it's got a lot of neat cartoony aesthetics to it, centered around that, as in sometimes you back out and look at the screen of the arcade and it's got an actual arcade game on it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I recommend this one has a demo, so it's a free demo to try. I recommend going to their website. We'll provide a link for that too. You just go to their website, try the demo out. It's neat. I'm not going to say it's the next best thing, but it's got a little wonky concept to it. So it's something to check out. All right. Now this one did really actually get me kind of excited. This was called Death Gambit. Now, if you look this one up, this one's on Steam. I don't think it's not released yet. It should release next year sometime, but it's probably greenlit by now. And you can go on Steam, look it up. Or actually, it's Deaths with an apostrophe S. Deaths Gambit, not Death Gambit. But the graphics and the animation are just incredible. It's an Adult Swim game, if that means anything to you.
It's like the Cartoon Network Adult Swim.
Yeah, it's like the Cartoon Network Adult Swim. They got a lot of games.
Yeah.
I like this quote from Kotaku. That's a video game website.
Yeah,
Th
yeah.
there's a, they have a quote about this game, says, "Sometimes all I need to see is a GIF and I'm in." And that's their description of this game.
That's
So
funny because I'm looking at a GIF right now
are you in?
of a I think so. It's a pretty neat looking little battle scene. Guy's holding the shield up and giant knights attacking him. It looks kind of neat. And it's got that dark kind of
It's got a yeah,
Castlevania.
it's
Yeah.
definitely got a Castlevania feel. This may lean more heavily towards RPG again. It looks like it's going to, but I think it's gonna. I mean, Metroidvanias in general have an RPG to them. So,
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see.
And everything I've seen so far, I kind of like the idea of it because I like fighting bosses that are like triple your size.
Right,
So it's
right.
every boss battle on here, I'm assuming they're boss battles, kind of reminds me of that, so.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's see. I've got a couple more here. This one's called Hollow Knight. I hate to just bring something up, say, "Hey, it's called Hollow Knight," and say it looks like it's going to be a Metroidvania, and there you go. But that's pretty much what this is. The graphics look cool. The characters
It's like if Tim Burton, it
interesting.
looks like if Tim Burton made a Metroidvania. That's what it reminds me
Yeah, that's kind of what it looks like. Like if Tim Burton dipped his toe in the Metroidvania water, because the character is a, I don't even know what it is, but it's got horns, and it's got big black eyes, and that's pretty much
Yeah.
it.
When I saw the title, I was hoping, is that a spin-off of Shovel Knight? That'd be awesome.
That would be cool.
But no.
No, it's not. Let's see. I will. You know what? Let's just call it there. Really, that's enough. I feel like
Yeah.
I have exhausted the new games on the horizon
Yeah,
segment.
and the next one you had listed, I didn't really find that intriguing, so.
Yeah, it's doesn't look that. Yeah. Anyways, we may mention it sometime if it starts to look better than it did. So that's that. And then finally, in the major announcements, this is not really a major announcement. I, along with probably you and many people, have a little bit of a bone to pick with Nintendo and their handling of the Metroid property, which at this point, there's really no need to even mention it. They came out to E3, didn't show anything Metroid except for some weird soccer game, and that was it. And then they said, well, if we do a Metroid, it'll probably be on the NX, not on the Wii U or the 3DS. And so pretty much just disappointed all the fans of Metroid.
I thought I saw some like first-person shooter on the 3DS for Metroid. Maybe that was a spoof.
That's the soccer game.
Was that the soccer game? Okay. It looked like the Metroid.
It is a Metroid first-person game, but you're basically just trying to shoot a ball into the other goal.
Okay, that's dumb. Yeah.
they made this game where you're playing, it's not soccer per se, but it looks like soccer to me because you're trying to get this ball into the other team's goal and it's first person. And then it's almost like they made this game and then just said, well, let's just tack the Metroid name onto it. Then maybe people will buy it. That's what it feels like to me. So.
Okay. Is it Prime Federation Force? Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Okay. Something like that.
Well, the graphics, I watched a video of it a few weeks ago and the graphics even looked awful.
I don't even know what they're thinking.
I was a little disappointed overall with Nintendo at E3, like that Zelda Triforce Heroes. I'm not a big fan of this whole Zelda Four Swords crap. I mean, get rid of that. Star Fox looked cool. I know this isn't Metroidvania, but you know, stuff like that. I don't know. I was just kind of like, here we go again, Nintendo.
You know, I will say that Nintendo disappointed me in all areas except for the one game that I'm most excited about of any game in like the past 5 years, and that's the Mario Maker. And they just kind of blew me away with that.
Yeah, I've kind of got mixed emotions on that because I thought I was going to like Little Big Planet, and I really didn't. I thought it was too much, but I think Mario Maker is going to be a little easier to dig into. It doesn't.
Did you watch any of the Nintendo World Championships 2015?
Yes, yeah, I did.
Did you see the Mario Maker stuff at the end?
Yeah, that was cool.
That's pretty cool. and they said it's going to come with... I know this isn't the... I should probably say this for the Two Dudes podcast, but anyways, they said it's going to come packaged with 100 levels to start off, already made. So you probably don't ever even have to dig into the Little Big Planet stuff.
True. And it was the first time that I actually was excited about the use of an amiibo. I saw them scan like the Link amiibo, and here all of a sudden here's Link on the stage, and you're playing that as him. That was pretty cool.
I know, right? And just imagine how people... You know how people are when they get these creation tools. You're probably going to get basically a 2D Zelda game out of this.
Well, I saw some stages that were like 2 seconds long, but it was pretty much if you don't jump in the exact right spot, you're dead. And it's just like floating in the air trying to control. So it's
imagine the ROM, a ROM hack for forever.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Like with my oldest son, we'll just create stages for each other and say, hey, play this. That'll be kind of neat.
All right, let's. You want to talk about SteamWorld Dig?
We can talk about SteamWorld Dig.
Yeah, for a little while.
About as much as it took to beat the game, right?
Well, I'm not talking about this game for 4.5 hours with you. No offense.
Yeah, I got you. I'm the same way. Yeah, SteamWorld Dig. It's kind of one of those games that was released on this whole indie scene, as we call it. I saw it first on Nintendo 3DS, and that's the platform I played it on, but it was actually created by a Swedish developer called Image and Form, who I've honestly never heard of. And at E3, they had some kind of spinoff of SteamWorld Dig. I can't remember what it was called. It looked like a strategy battle game or something. It's kind of weird, but it kind of was in the same universe. But anyways, the history of this game, I don't really have a lot. I did a little digging, pun intended, but... it came out in 2013. I really didn't even hear about it until probably last year. I saw it on a Nintendo 3DS sale, and I picked it up for like $2. But I really don't have a lot of history on this one.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll fill out the history segment with just a general question. What's up with the Swedish development? It's here lately. All the great games are coming out of Sweden, like the indie games at least.
Yeah, I have no clue.
Yeah,
that's a good question though.
Well, let's just, what's the story of this game?
I'll
mention it a little bit, and you can fill in where I'm at. Basically, you play as a robot. I can't remember his name.
Rusty.
Rusty. Yeah, that's right. That's right. I don't know why I couldn't remember that. But yeah, you play as Rusty. He's a robot, and he's coming into town because he got a letter from his uncle or I guess it's his uncle's will or something, saying that you've inherited my mine, right?
Yeah.
So you're going into this town to dig through your uncle's mine, basically. And that's really the gist of the whole game. When you start the game, you don't know much about the mine. You just know, I think you fall through the ground and you find your uncle and you take his pickaxe and you go digging. And that's basically the gist of the story in the beginning.
Yeah, which I love. I love just to being able just to jump right into the game and just dig into it. But
jeez.
It's going to keep happening. But I think that's what made this game so easy to get into, was just being able to start and go.
But. Yeah, they don't throw a whole lot of story at you. They throw just enough to kind of get you motivated, and then they just say, here, go. And there's really no barrier to entry here. You can just... They pretty much just open the world up to you. The only barrier, and really, in my opinion, and I may be jumping ahead a little bit, the only way this even becomes a Metroidvania at all is that you have to upgrade your stuff to move forward down the mine.
Yeah.
And discover, you learn new powers that help you move through the mine.
Yeah, and it's a fresh take on it, I believe, so being able to kind of make your own path to the next area.
Yeah, I would still consider this a Metroidvania.
Yes, me too.
I would just say that it's just a very interesting take on it. There's not a big map necessarily. I mean, there is a map, but it's procedurally generated, so it's always different.
Yeah.
For everybody. And you're going down. You know which direction you need to go. You need to go down. Right? Because you're trying to dig down through the mine.
Yeah, yeah.
But you hit certain points where you can't progress further without some special equipment that you get from what I guess you discover holes in the mine that you go into other parts of the mine.
Like little caves, and then
little caves, and that's how you upgrade your equipment and you progress further down the mine.
Yeah, whether it's something to get through harder rocks or a double jump or was the dash always there? I can't remember, but like
no, the dash is something you
so
you gain a drill at some point.
Yeah, the drill, and of course you got to. Water is kind of how you power yourself up in your drill, which I thought was kind of neat.
It's the steam.
The steam,
one, right?
Yeah. So that was kind of neat. But yeah, I mean, I absolutely. This is a Metroidvania game with a fresh start, fresh vision, I think. Because there is backtracking, especially at the end of the game. You know, I don't want to spoil it, but you kind of had to backtrack pretty much all the way through the whole thing.
Going speaking of spoiling it, and we haven't spoiled it yet, because there is a little tiny twist. But didn't we determine there was an age on games that we said, okay, if it's over this age, then we'll spoil it. If not, do you remember what that was?
I can't
was it
remember.
2 years?
This is 2 years, yeah. I guess we could do that.
Is this game 2 years old?
2013 is when it came out.
Okay, we can spoil it. I say we can spoil it.
All right, let's spoil it.
Because I think it's got a pretty cool little twist at the end.
Yeah, with the...
the coolest part to me, or the coolest little twisty part to me, is you dig through, I think there's four total layers of caves, maybe? No, there's three. There's three. There's the normal, the one you start out in, which is just a starting mine, right? And then you get into the old world mine, which I thought was really cool because there's zombies down there, which this is me filling in the gaps, right? I feel like the humans or whatever, the non-robot humans versus robot humans. Anyways.
that
didn't make any sense. But the humans destroyed their world, right? And then the robots just kind of kept on without them.
It sounds like it.
So anyways, the second layer, you go into the old world, which you can see in the background. It looks like there used to be civilization, but everything's radioactive there and stuff. But then the coolest twist to me is when you go into the, I guess, the final. I can't remember if it's the third or the fourth layer. I think it's the third layer. Do you know?
I'm looking here. It looks like there's about... I think it's three. I'm trying to drop down.
Yeah, I think it's the third layer. So when you finally break through the bottom of the old world, right? And one of the last things you get is the ability to fall really far, right? And you think, well, what use is that? I don't ever fall very far. But then when you break through the third layer, or when you break through to the third layer from the old world, you fall forever, it seems like. And then you land in this super high-tech world, and it's just It's just really cool, that little
Yeah,
twist. Because I was just kind of blown away. I was like, where did this come from?
I wasn't expecting that at all. Especially when you fell into that area, because all the other new areas kind of let you dig your way back up. Because, I mean, I died a lot in this game. I died probably double what you did, I think I saw. But you really couldn't go back up. You're kind of stuck. And then I didn't find. Each area kind of had its own, like, little town portal where you could go back to the town and, buy new stuff, trade in your minerals and stuff. But I didn't find that in that last area right away, and I ran out of the town portal, which you can buy. I can't remember what they're called. I keep calling them town portals, but
That's fine.
I'm thinking Diablo. But it so that last area, I died a lot until I finally found, because I ran out of money. I died and I ran out of money, and it was just like, I didn't want to start back all the first mine just to get all the minerals and stuff. So, but that's another cool part about this game, is that you get back in town and you can upgrade your equipment and buy new pickaxes, buy new drills, things like that. Make sure even had armor, right? Did he have?
Yeah, you have
Yeah,
armor
had
and you
armor.
have water tanks, bigger water tanks and stuff.
Which I love that component about Metroidvania games. I love being able to loot and go back and get upgrades. And it was pretty necessary to do that in this game. And I love that, because like Metroid and Castlevania, some of the newer Castlevanias did it, but it wasn't that necessary to just get coins, go back, get coin. I like that. I like the whole Diablo Borderlands type gameplay. So,
Yeah, and this takes a really neat approach to that too, because you can, well, at first you're just digging through and then you'll see something. And then if you dig it out and you mine it and then you take it back and you have a certain size pouch or whatever that you can hold in, which you can upgrade as well. But eventually one of the powers you gain is the ability to see where all the stuff is.
Oh yeah, you almost get that too late. Not too late,
Yeah,
but it's just.
you get it really late in the game, but that's when you. Or at least that's when I decided to just upgrade everything, right? So once I got that, I just went and gathered as much stuff as I could and upgraded everything.
Well, I like that. I remember just doing that for about an hour. After I got that power up, I just kind of started from the beginning and just went all the way down, picked up everything I possibly could. But if you start at the beginning, all the minerals are worth like hardly anything.
Yeah, they're not
So.
worth much. But you have a big pouch and they don't take up much room.
Yes, that's true.
So,
That's true.
no, yeah, I that is a really cool element too. The digging, the mining for things, and then go back and upgrade it. And just speaking of mining, I just think that's really cool how you kind of develop your own strategy as how you want to progress through the mine. Because once you dig it out, it's gone, right? So you got to figure out a path you can take to where you can dig out the most stuff, because you can't really dig above you. You can only dig to each side and below you. So you kind of have to figure out your path, the best path to take to dig out the minerals, get to the places where you gain upgrades, and then also be able to get back up and go to the town, you know?
Which a lot of times I would try to dig around some areas, and I would kind of ruin what I was trying to do, because I was trying to go above, go down and then try to go around some of the minerals, and I would almost get to where it was impossible to get to it again. So I kept ruining my chances to get them. But then
Right. And
later
yeah,
on, when he
go.
got that punching power, you could kind of get to areas you couldn't before. It lets you kind of extend your pickaxe or whatever that you want to call that. But yeah, once you got some of those powers, you can go back to those little hard to reach areas and get it. But yeah,
Right.
and then
Yep.
when some of the stuff blew up too, it kind of ruins your strategy
Oh
too.
yeah, that's what I was about to say, is that some of the stuff kind of blows up around you and it kind of just throws you off. And there's also the blocks that break out beneath you no matter what you do. And then later there's blocks that disappear and then come back. So
Yeah, that's true.
they throw all kinds of little kinks in there, which is, I found to be really refreshing.
Which, and I was really, really shocked that I liked this game so much, because I'm usually not a big fan of games where there's not a lot of combat. Like I really don't like Minecraft. I see why people love Minecraft, but I just think it's boring to keep building, building, building.
I
And
do too.
I felt like this was going to be the same way, because when I started playing, I'm like, I just don't want to dig all day. I want to fight stuff. But man, it was kind of satisfying going down, finding things and doing that. I wish the combat was a little bit better. It's a very tiny gripe, but I think the main gameplay of this, of exploring, was enough to hold me in.
Yeah, I think, and part of that is, we kind of make it almost a complaint, but not the length of the game being so short. I think that helps it a lot in this case, because I think if we would have been, it's about 4 or 5 hour game, right? I feel like if you would have been digging for 10 instead or something, then
Yeah, that'd be
it
rough.
would have got old. I think it's just the right length to where you can play it and really enjoy it, and then you can go back and play it again if you really want to.
Yeah, and I think the power-ups kind of kept it fresh. Like when you got the ability to double jump and then jump off the walls, and you could really, I mean, you could really scoot through some of those areas. I think once those kind of died off, it was probably time for the game to end. So I thought it ended at a good point, actually. I usually don't like that sort of a game, but and maybe it's because we're prepping for a podcast too. I can't figure out
Yeah.
can't figure it out if I like the shortness of it because of that, or just because it was the way the game was made. But I like the length, because you can even go back now after you beat it and still have a good time just digging around.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Of course, I don't think I can because I got all the power-ups upgrade all the way. So
I haven't done
I feel
that
like I kind of exhausted it a little bit there. But it would be cool to. This is a game that you could kind of speed run too, you know, see how fast you could get down to the bottom and beat it. So, you know, I think I think that the length of it is a valid concern as well as a perk, depending on how you look at it. So, you know, we haven't even done anything on our list. I think we've just been kind of gushing about random things about the game,
Which is
but
good. Which is good.
that's good. That means the game was good, right?
Yeah.
But what about the controls? What'd you think about the way it controlled?
I think mechanically it was fine. My only gripe is just the system I was playing it on. I was playing on the 3DS, and I wanted to use the directional pad for this game. And these new 3DS, every model I've played of the new 3DS, whether it's the standard size, the XL, or the one I have, which is the new 3DS XL, the directional pad's in the most uncomfortable spot in the world. So
Yeah.
literally my hand was cramping playing this game. So that's really the only complaint I had, and didn't have anything to do with the game. I thought the controls were good. Switching out your powers with the shoulder buttons were great. Jumping, everything was real responsive. I thought the game flowed well. The running, the speed, everything. The controls definitely had to be top notch just because of the kind of game it was, I think. So I have no complaints of the controls at all, other than the machine I was playing it on.
Yeah, I will say that I had the unique experience of having played this on three different systems because I bought it on Steam and I played it for a little bit, not very long. Which means whenever I put it on Steam, that means I either use an Xbox 360 controller or a PS3 controller. I never really know which one. It just depends on when I play it and how I play it. Because if I'm playing on my TV, I got to have wireless. If I plug my computer to my TV, I gotta have wireless, so I gotta use 360 controller. But if I'm playing it in the office slash game room, then I don't care to have a wire, so I'll use the PS3 controller because I actually prefer the PS3 controller. So there, it was perfect. It was great. On the 3DS, I'm with you. I think that it's just because I really like to use the directional pad in a game like this, and I think on the 3DS it was kind of difficult to do that. And then where I actually ended up beating it was on the Wii U, and I think it's just about perfect on the Wii U because you have the touch screen for your
Oh,
inventory.
that's right, yeah.
There's always on the touch screen, and so it's really that's probably where it's best suited
Yeah,
is on the Wii U.
I'm a huge fan of the two screens, especially when you can control your inventory and other options on the bottom screen, whether it's the Wii U or the 3DS. So I'm a big fan of that. So I probably need to try some more of these games on the Wii U.
Yeah, the Wii U works really, really well for Metroidvania. And, you know, I think I made this comment on the Facebook group, but the Wii U has kind of turned into the Metroidvania lovers console. When you combine the virtual console with indie games, this is probably like the Metroidvania lovers console.
Yeah, I can see that. That's cool. Yeah, I will say though, the 3D effect on this game was pretty good. I do have the new 3DS that lets you kind of move your head, and you can still see the 3D. I guess that little laser kind of follows your face around, but it was a subtle 3D. I talked about this on Genesis Gems with some of the Sega 3D classics, but the backgrounds just kind of pop out, and I actually left it on most of the time, which never happens with me with 3DS. So I really enjoyed the 3D on this game.
Yeah, I guess that's a good little segue. What did you think about the graphics in general?
I thought they were good. We mentioned this with Dust. I worry sometimes about these indie games, because a lot of them do just kind of throw me off, and I think it's just gonna be some crappy flash game. But I did like the graphics on this. I thought the character design was very, I thought it was unique. you get a lot of this steampunk type stuff, and I thought the idea of a Western type robotic steampunk, whatever one you want to call that crap, was very clever. I liked the character design. I thought all the guys in the town were very unique. One had like, you know, some of them had legs. The guy was on one wheel. I mean, it was very, very creative with that. And I kind of liked the goofiness of the buildings, how they kind of were a little crooked and things like that. But yeah, I thought the graphics were crisp and clear. Really enjoyed them.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think it's really neat how it almost seems like, kind of like you said, everything's just kind of thrown together. It's almost like these robots are just kind of built themselves or something, but they didn't really know what they were doing. I just think it's just a really cool little mechanic.
Yeah. And I looked up a little while ago just to kind of make sure I was speaking right, but there is a new game on the horizon called Steamworld Heist, and it just says it's a game about space adventure and survival. It definitely doesn't have the same mechanics as Steamworld Dig, but it's kind of the, when you look at the characters, they look very similar, the robots and the same kind of, it looks a little bit more serious, but I'm kind of excited to dig more into this world later on too.
Oh yeah, you're excited to dig into that world too.
I didn't even mean to do it that time.
Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. So, what about the sound and the music? Huh?
I thought it was very soothing. I mean, you're not going to hear any tunes that you're going to be humming very often, but it was that very almost like desolate Western. It definitely set the mood because you're in this town with like four buildings and three people, and you just kind of heard. It just reminded me like the tumbleweed music where you don't really hear much.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I thought it fit the game well. Sometimes less is better for things like this because you're kind of just in the mines by yourself, kind of exploring. There's really no, there are high points, but the music just kind of suits it well because you're kind of making your own path, you're making your own story in a way. So I like the music very much.
Yeah, I totally agree. Again, I think it's it harkens back to things I've said about Super Metroid and how it's very minimal, but it's perfectly suited to the game. Yeah. You know, it's got a very good, bad, and the ugly appeal to it. What I mean? Like the whistly noises and I don't know. Just it. You're right. It just totally sounds like a Western. It's made specifically for the game. It's not. And like you said, also, it's not one of those that I'm going to go sticking in my car and listen to on the way home. But while playing this game, it's pretty much perfect.
Yeah. And I a lot of times I'll play my DS around. Sometimes after dinner time, I'll just go sit in the recliner and play the DS, and I usually turn the sound down, but I kept the sound up on this one because it didn't really distract anybody else from what they were doing, and it kind of just, I don't know, kind of just suited the game real well. So it was definitely one of those, like, I'm playing Xenoblade right now for the 3DS, and I turn that music down quite often because it's just kind of, it's just one of those Japanese RPGs that's just kind of in your face with all this crazy orchestrated music. So
yeah,
anyways.
Well, we got the gameplay, which I think we pretty well covered the gameplay.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I think we did.
So, any last thoughts or opinions?
I don't think so. I'd recommend anyone play this game if you grab a hold of it. It's pretty cheap, so.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll wrap that up later, but.
Yeah. All right. So let's go on to rating then. I give it an A.
Yeah, yeah. I'm right on there with you. Even A.
Yep. I wouldn't quite go in the A-plus range, but I think it's definitely an A.
Yeah, it's better than Dust. I'd even give it, you know, a little. What would we give Circle of the Moon? A-?
Well, I think I gave Circle of the Moon a C-plus. But
okay, I think I might give it an A-.
You may give it an A-.
Okay, well, I think this is a little bit better than Circle of the Moon, so I definitely
It's definitely not Guacamelee standards.
No.
Which was an A plus from us.
Exactly.
So I would give this one a solid A.
Yeah, and like I said, the only improvement that I would make, and it's a very small one, is maybe a little bit better battle mechanics and more enemies. But then again, I don't know. Maybe it would take away. It's one of those things. I'm not sure if I would like it if it was in there. But
I would almost say either better battle mechanics or just take out battling almost altogether.
Yeah.
Like maybe don't give your guy a way to fight back. Still have enemies, but he can't fight back or something, you know? Because that's almost what it felt like anyways.
It must turn into like survival horror. You can definitely tell how, I've mentioned this many times in the show, how I'm balls to the wall. Yeah, I died 30 sometimes in this game because I would just jump into middle of a bunch of guys and just try to kill them all. It wasn't happening. And I kept doing it over and over again. It's just instinct. That's how I play games. But yeah, because I think you died like 13 times. I saw your screenshot. It was,
I don't remember, but that sounds about right.
Yeah, I think mine was like almost 36, I think. So yeah, I was I doubled yours very easily.
Okay, so ranking it compared to the previous games. I'm looking back through here. Okay, I'm going to tell you what we gave everything and where everything's ranked. Okay, Super Metroid we gave an A+.
Yep.
I think I gave it an A+. You gave it an A, so it rounded up to an A+. Yep. Guacamelee we both gave it A+. So it's definitely A+. Circle of the Moon, I don't remember what you gave it, but it ended up being a total of a C+.
Okay.
So you may have given it a B+. I may have given it a C-.
Probably, yeah.
And then Dust ended up as a C. So as it stands, we have Guacamelee, then Super Metroid, then Circle of the Moon, then Dust. I personally would put this between Super Metroid and Castlevania Circle of the Moon.
Yes.
In third place.
I agree.
All right. Good consensus.
Yes. That's when you're going over that's where I had it in my head. So good deal.
All right. Sweet. So that's where we put it right now. We say this is our number three game so far. So yeah, it's in the top three. This is a highly recommended game. And like you said, I don't know what it is, but pricing and availability, you got information on that? It goes on sale all the time.
Yeah. I honestly don't. Like I think I picked it up for $2.99 like almost a year ago. It was actually before we even started this podcast. We were talking about it, and I said, I remember picking it up and not even playing it because I remembered wanting to play it one way or another for this podcast. Because we were actually talking about making this podcast retroed inspired or something like that, and then we kind of switched it over to Metroidvania. But either way, you know, I was wanting to cover this game, so yeah.
Yeah, dude. And I think the reason we even decided to cover it on this episode was because it went on a sale on the Humble Bundle back a month ago, right?
Yep.
So we may have a copy to give. Well, I don't want any guarantees, but I think we may have a copy to give away. I don't know.
Okay.
It depends on whether or not I kept any of it back or used it for myself. I don't remember. But if we do, I will let everybody know and we'll give it away. But it's oftentimes it goes on sale and a lot of times it's under $5. So I would say pick it up.
Yes.
Maybe wait till it goes on sale. $5 and under is a heck of a deal for this game. So
yeah, it's on everything. It's on Steam and Xbox, Wii U, PS4, PS Vita, blah blah blah. You can find it everywhere you need to. I think it's even on Linux. Check that out.
Yeah, probably is.
Anyways.
All right, so did we had a question for the
show. Yes, we did. I have it pulled up in case I don't know if you did.
Good, because I don't.
Okay, so you asked this back on June 23rd. You asked, what gameplay mechanic would you like to see added to a Metroidvania that is not normally included into the game or incorporated into the genre? Same thing. And we had some a few responses here, some I really liked. Mike McDaniel said, having a room where you can customize it with things you find in the game, then being able to share pics of your created room or invite people to actually visit it online. So that's kind of cool.
That sounds really awesome.
Yeah. There's a game, I wouldn't really consider it a Metroidvania, but it's kind of like a 2D Minecraft called Terraria. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah, I've played it a little bit.
Okay, okay. Well, for some reason, when he said that, it kind of reminded me of that. I didn't mind Terraria too much, but Jeff Weber said a tuning, this is just kind of funny, a tuning dial with Metroid on one end and Castlevania on the other, so you can adjust the levels of how much Metroid Castlevania you wanted in the game. That was funny.
That's funny.
Yeah, there's just a couple more. I'll go ahead and
actually
read
them, not a bad idea either.
Yeah, that'd be honestly kind of neat if they could get the two companies together. Grant Smith says, finite resources. You could find a really powerful item, but its ammunition is limited, forcing you to manage each item. I kind of felt that way when I played Aliens on the DS. So
if you haven't played that one.
Yeah, if you haven't played that, Grant, go check that out. It's I consider Aliens like the survivor horror Metroidvania. So it's pretty intense. It's not looking at the cover of that game, you think you're going to be like it's going to be Contra, but it's not. So we'll talk about that one day later. And Gabe Van is it Van Gilder?
Guy. I think it's Van Gilder, yeah.
Gilder, okay. Yeah, he said he'd like some RPG elements with class systems. you'll be able to build your own armor, things like that. So there's I've seen some games in Metroidvania like that, but not really. I don't know if you can really pick your character or do classes. So I don't know. That's a pretty good one. And then the last one, Matt Daly says randomized levels. Says he knows this would have to be done carefully since the genre is built around unlocking new areas. But sure, there's a way to make it work. Well Matt,
SteamWorld did.
Yeah, exactly. There you go, Matt.
There you go, Matt. This game does it.
Yeah. Did you have an idea for your own question?
Yeah, I think I gave it out last show, in fact. But it was two-player co-op. I'd like to see a game.
Oh, okay.
I know a couple of games have tried it, and it wasn't very effective. I would like to see a game really pull it off. I think actually Guacamelee kind of does it. But I haven't got a chance to try Guacamelee out. But I would like to see a good two-player co-op.
Yeah.
Metroidvania game. I think that'd be really cool.
Yeah. And what I thought of was kind of the same answer I had for last question about what genre would you like to, or what franchise would you like to see. I would like to see more of a, when you meet bosses, it turns into like a 2D fighting game instead of like hack and slash or something. Like I want a full on Street Fighter Metroidvania where you have to go find Ryu at the top of the building. And
that would be cool. I think they could pull that off. I think somebody could pull that off.
It doesn't have to be that franchise, just some kind of a, you know, where you meet enemies through the way and you still use the same fighting mechanics, but it's not as exaggerated as it would be for the boss.
Yeah. What about this? And Guacamelee kind of does it, but it does it in a strict 2D arena. What about a beat 'em up?
Yes.
Metroidvania. Yeah, like a Streets of Rage.
Yes.
Metroidvania.
Yes. I'm so glad you said that. Absolutely. That'd
because
be great.
If you think about it, you could go left, right, up and down the streets, then left and right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
And then you could make that into a map, right? Kind of like, what is that game for NES? Here I am, the two dudes, and I can't even think of the game for the NES.
River City.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Kunio-kun, goodness. I love that game.
Yeah, Kunio-kun.
You guys are, that was pretty funny when you were doing that. Because most podcasts that say that will try to use like a Japanese accent. You guys were just Kunio-kun. That was great. Sound like Cartman from South Park or something.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was think of every time I hear Kunio-kun.
But that would be sweet. I mean, I wouldn't know what your power-ups would be. Get from area to area, maybe just finding keys or something. It doesn't really have to be power-ups.
I guess that would be kind of hard to do. Because your power-ups would end up being moves, kind of like in Guacamelee. But Guacamelee used that to open up. I guess you could still do that. Maybe a certain kind of kick had to kick down a certain door or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. New pair of shoes that let you run a little faster to get across a gap or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Something like that. Or they give you the ability to jump.
Yeah. Or if you find a turkey breast underneath a trash can, it lets you get a little stronger to move a door or something.
Yeah. I think that'd be good.
That would be good. I like it.
I dig it.
You dig it. Yeah. You dig it, sucker. Booker T. All right. Do we have a question for the next show? I really didn't think of one.
I didn't think of one either. We may have to just pause that thought and then...
Yeah.
Because I'd like this. I think Cave Story. Well, I guess I'm spoiler alert.
No spoiler.
next game's gonna be Cave Story.
Yes.
So there you go. Spoilers.
Yes,
I think that game would yield a question that is game related because I think a lot of people have tinkered with that one, especially since it's free.
Yeah.
/ cheap.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people have probably at least tinkered with it, and so we may be able to do one directly related to the game. If not, we'll come up with a cool one, but I can't think of one off the top of my head right now.
Okay.
So we'll just save that one and we'll post it up on the Facebook group.
Sounds good. All right. So is this the time for some shout outs? Is that what
I said? Yeah, let's shout out our shows and some other retro junkies.
Okay. You want me to go first or you want to do it?
Sure. Yeah. I am also on Two Dudes in a Nest, which is a game-by-game podcast about the Nintendo Entertainment System. The system that is way better than the Sega Genesis.
It's a good thing you went first, isn't it? And I am also on Genesis Gems. It's a game-by-game Sega Genesis podcast. So we're kind of rivals at the same time. But we just kind of brought Rob Luther back. He's already not going to be on the next episode. So,
awesome.
Way to go, Rob. No. So it's we actually brought on Aaron Hickman full time from Retro Obscura.
The encyclopedia.
Yes, exactly. And it's been cool because we kind of made the deal that if one of us aren't available, we would just kind of go on without the other. So it's still, we were supposed to record a couple of days ago, and we're just now going to record tomorrow morning. So it's still a little rough with our schedules, but we're getting a little better at it. But yeah, go check us out, Genesis Gems Podcast, anywhere you go, Google over there. Of course, you can check all these shows out on the RetroJunkies.com. It's our new little generic hub for all of our affiliate shows, so go check that out.
Yeah, click, and there's a ton yes, of podcasts, yeah, on there. Basically, if you can think of a system, we have a podcast about it.
Pretty much, and if even toys and movies and all kinds of fun stuff. So, yeah, go check that out. Cool, man.
Sweet. So you can find us on Facebook and Twitter and Google Plus. Again, just kind of Google Metroidvania Mayhem. I'm pretty sure you're going to come up with some stuff. We also have MetroidvaniaMayhem.com, which is where you'll find all these beautiful links to these games that we talk about. You can go there, and I will post up links to all of the stuff we talked about. And you'll also get our rating will be on there, as well as the current rankings of our games and potentially a link to buy the game that we talked about, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. I thought it was cool. I just confirmed this. If you just Google Metroidvania, period, we're the sixth thing that comes up. So that's kind of cool.
Really?
Yeah. It goes Wikipedia, another Wikipedia, Steam-powered Metroidvania games, Metroidvania TV, Metroidvania Giant Bomb, and then us. So, and Giant Bomb's a pretty big deal. It's a pretty big gaming podcast.
Probably has something to do with the fact that you're on Metroidvania Mayhem, and you've probably Googled us before.
That's probably true.
Because I just did it, and we're not even on the front page.
Well, crap. You just threw my whole theory. I hate you, Google.
Actually, no, I take it back. The iTunes link for us is 1, 2, 3, 4... 5 down from me.
Ooh,
so
nice.
Never mind. There is an iTunes link for us.
Someone else try that. Let us know what happens.
Yeah, somebody who doesn't normally look us up. Yeah. Look us up and see what happens.
The internet used to be so much easier to predict. Now everything's personalized.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But we're also on iTunes and Stitcher.
Yes.
If you want to listen to us there. So we'll post our episode and it'll pop up on iTunes and Stitcher. It also pop up on whatever RSS reader you want. Yep. If you really, really want to use another one and you can't find it anywhere, just get on the Facebook group and say, hey, guys, what's your RSS feed? Because I'd really like to use Microsoft Office to listen to your podcast.
Oh, I used to subscribe to RSS through Outlook.
That's why I said that. So if you really just need the link to RSS feed, then hop on the group or send us an email or something. I think our email addresses are michael@metroidvaniamayhem.com or nick@metroidvaniamayhem.com. You can send us an email if you want to.
Yep.
And that's it.
Cool. That was a good
show.
One. Good show. Nice and easy, because it was a fun game. Mm-hmm. That last one was a little difficult. I feel like that might be one of the reasons we delayed, because I was like, oh, I don't want to play this game anymore.
Yeah. This one, I played it so fast that I almost forgot things about it.
I did too.
Recorded, because I started playing Cave Story right after.
Yeah, so. I did too. So I got to pick Cave Story back up. I got that Xenoblade on 3DS, and I've kind of stuck my face in that way too long, so.
Yeah, the Steam sale happened to me, and I kind of picked up a couple games on there that kind of detracted me from Cave Story, so I got to pick it back up, too.
Yep. All right, man.
All righty. Well, good show.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll catch you all later.